fired up for the season. Like, we work tirelessly all through the offseason, where the free agency, draft, training camp, we work tirelessly to get to this moment, right? And we're here. Like, you get 17 opportunities that you're guaranteed, so how are you going to take advantage of them? One at a time. Like, how does our team take advantage of the opportunity, and how does our team grow throughout the season? That's what I'm most excited about. Every year is different. Every team is different. I'm excited to see what the 2025 Texans, how we look, how we show up on Sundays. I mean, I'm fired up. There's no better time than football time, as everybody can feel that excitement in the air from watching college football over the weekend and now getting ready for the first NFL game this Thursday. Man, football is in the air, and we're excited it's back.
Yeah, buddy, let's go. Fired up. It's game week, dude. Game week. D'Amico Ryans earlier today from NRG met with the media, got the table set for Texans-Rams coming up on Sunday, 3:25 kickoff. You can hear it all on Sports Radio 610. I would imagine countdown to kickoff beginning right here with Payne and Pendergast at noon on Sunday. That'll be cool. Bold predictions, man. Bold predictions. You and I think, PC, should probably wait until Wednesday. I think it's the last time we're going to be doing radio together before the season begins.
Yeah, we're in for Ron and Clint today, and then tomorrow and
Wednesday, Wednesday, 8 to midnight.
8 to midnight, and then we're off until next Tuesday.
So we'll call it. We'll do our season predictions, win-loss record, on Wednesday night for Texans.
For those of you who usually follow Area 45, we are now in football season schedule, which is 8 to midnight, Tuesday, Wednesday, 10 to midnight, Friday.
And that's it. That's all she wrote. Anywhere in between, well, it'll be things like this if they let us do radio. Jonathan Alexander, who covers the Texans for the Houston Chronicle, put together his annual list of bold predictions before the season begins for the Texans. And I have to tell you, I did not find many of these very bold, but you be the judge, okay? You can weigh in out there as well, 713-572-4610. If you want to text in a bold prediction for the Texans this year, go ahead. Let us have it. Here we go. Here's the first bold prediction from Jonathan Alexander on the Texans. C.J. Stroud has an improved season and calls for 28 touchdowns to just 10 interceptions for C.J. Stroud.
Improved season.
It's not bold, right? Come on. Now, bold would be C.J. Stroud is a top three MVP candidate.
5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns would be bold.
Yeah. That would be more bold, but okay.
Or if you want to go the other way, you know, gets benched week six, that's bold.
Well, there's some of that too. Not bold, but I would like the 28-10 touchdown interception ratio. Number two, Nico Collins has a career season, per Jonathan Alexander of the Houston Chronicle.
Again, not too bold, but
are we not anticipating that?
I think that's more about, hey, if Nico Collins can stay healthy.
Caveat here. He says Nico will stay healthy and have a career season. Derek Stingley, all pro again, which would obviously mean he too stays very healthy and is very badass this season. I would say not bold, expected.
Yeah, that definitely has a little, why wouldn't he? I mean, unless he misses half the season,
yeah.
Why wouldn't he?
So, for me, I'm saying C.J. Stroud, improved season, expected. Nico Collins, career year, expected. Derek Stingley, all-pro again, expected. Here's the fourth one from Jonathan Alexander. The run game will struggle. Most notably because Joe Mixon will not start the season on the active roster. He will miss at least the first four games of the year, is noted by Jonathan Alexander, and that's fact, but is not at all trusting of the duo, maybe trio, of Nick Chubb, Damian Pierce, and Woody Marks.
I don't know. That seems
bold or not bold?
Soft?
Soft.
Hey, this is what they struggled at last year, so I'm going to say they're going to struggle at it again. That doesn't seem very bold.
Well, are you anticipating them struggling? I think we're all anticipating the run game like being at least as good as it was last year, right? Because of the improved O-line, because we feel better about the offense. That was the first one where I was like, yeah, okay. Okay, I guess. The next one, Will Anderson will be in the defensive player of the year conversation. Bold or not bold?
Is that bold?
No, that's expected.
That expected.
Same thing as CJ Stroud, Derek Stingley, Nico Collins. Will Anderson, I expect him to very much be in the defensive player of the year conversation. The Texans set their franchise sack record again. He calls for 55 sacks this year. I think they set it last year with 49 and set it the year before that with 46. He's calling for 55 again this year. Another franchise record. Bold or not bold?
Again, you're sticking with what worked a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bold if you just stay with the status quo. Hey, this guy is really good. We're expecting him to be really good.
Yeah.
This guy, all right, maybe they struggle with it. Like, none of this is bold. This is kind of just status quo.
I was going to say status quo, kind of. It's slightly improving on what's already, you know, a pretty
good
trajectory.
You want to go bold? Say Christian Kirk's going to get 1,000 yards. That's bold, right? Because he was injured last year. It's his first year on the team. He's obviously going to be wide receiver 2, not wide receiver 1. But if they go back to the way they operated that first year with CJ, where it was not about, hey, you got to feed this guy, feed that guy, but spread the ball around, find the open receiver. Well, Christian Kirk's going to get open. And yeah, I'd say, all right, Christian Kirk is probably going to get 60, 65 yards a game. Well, that's 1,000 yards over a season. That, to me, would be more of a bold prediction.
Save some of your ideas. And just not to crush Jonathan Alexander, but just relaying what he has as his bold prediction.
Dog piling on John Alexander like he's Arch Manning. Next.
We're getting some bold predictions on the Texans and chat lines, too. We'll get to them in a second. Let's see. The next one, offensive line, will be mid. In fact, Jonathan Alexander is saying the offensive line is going to change, and if it changes, it'll be because Ed Ingram is not very good or somebody gets hurt. And if that's the case, he's forecasting Ariante Ursery moving from left tackle to right tackle, inserting Cam Robinson in as your left tackle, and Titus Howard will once again be playing a guard position.
Possible. Look,
I don't think
possible.
That's bold. I think that is very much on the table, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's it. It's not bold. It's pretty much, this is something that pretty much everybody has said. It's not bold.
Yeah.
It's, you know, prognosticating, but it's not bold. You know, if you said the Texans were going to have turn Nick Chubb into a 1,000-yard rusher, or Damian Pierce was going to have 600 yards on the ground, or Woody Marks going to have 500 yards out of the backfield.
You know what I think would be bolder? Is if you'd said, this will be the Texans' offensive line all season long.
Yeah.
Honestly, that'd be a little bit more bold. Here's number 9. The Texans will host 2 playoff games.
Again, I don't know if that's bold. I mean, it's different, right? Because they haven't hosted the divisional round.
Mm-hmm.
But they're in a soft-ass division. And if the Texans' offense, like again, if the offensive line is mid, Texans' offense will be phenomenal. And the defense, we already expect to be a Super Bowl-caliber defense. I think hosting 2 playoff games is kind of where this team expects to be. They expect to be a 12-plus win team. They expect to sweep their division. Yeah, I mean, there's not going to be a whole lot of teams winning 14 games.
Do you expect them to sweep the division?
Yes.
Go 6-0 in the division?
6-0 in the division.
Oh, Lord.
That division is ass.
Byron, last year around this time, PC predicted like 17 wins for the Texans. 17-0, baby.
Just 19-0. Just, yeah.
Jeez. Oh, my goodness. All right, here's number 10. I hate this one. Texans lose in the divisional round again.
Oh, wow. Very bold. Hold on. Wait. I need to let my heart settle. It is pounding so hard.
That's not bold. That is frustrating.
Ba-thump.
That is death.
Ba-thump.
No, if that happens.
Ba-thump.
That is not That is not bold that by any ass. Stretch. That is
ass.
I would say for the people out there, and I don't know if they're the majority, but there's many people out there that would expect the Texans to Texan, as they say, and lose in the divisional
but
round.
But these are
again.
Supposed to be bold predictions. Yeah, yeah. They sound more like cold predictions.
Or just predictions.
Or old predictions.
Let's get to the some on the chat line. Champ Slice says, oh gosh, we've got a lot. Hold on. Bold prediction. God bless, they're refreshing. Bold prediction, we get over the Ravens hump. That would be
That's a bold prediction.
That would be a bold prediction. Champ Slice, I don't know if it's bold or not, but Kirk will lead the team in receptions. I would say that's
bold.
That's bold.
That would also mean Nico probably missed half the season.
No! Let's see. We'll host two playoff games. Yeah, it's a lot of these are just in agreement. Here's one from the 713. 13 wins and number one seed in the AFC is my bold prediction.
That's
for the
bold.
That is bold. I would say if I was to make a bold prediction this year, the Texans beat both the Ravens and the Chiefs this regular season.
That would be bold.
Now, it would be bold, but if you're expecting, like many fans are, the Texans to improve upon, you know, winning 10 regular season games, then, and you're expecting this to be a Super Bowl caliber team, like, all Texan fans, I would say, for the most part, Texan fans would say that is a legitimate expectation this year. It's year three, DeMeco, and you've got an insane defense, and you got Christian Kirk, and you feel good about the offense, blah, 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 whatever. Yeah, improve upon 10 wins. And if you're going to do that, are you satisfied with sweeping the Colts, sweeping the Titans, sweeping the Jags, and getting those extra wins that way? Versus beating the Ravens and beating the Chiefs. There are going to be a lot of people, you're not going to beat the Ravens and the Chiefs in the regular season. No way that's going to happen. Oh, really? Because if you can't do it in the regular season, what makes you think you're going to be able to do it in the postseason? How confident are you really in this Texans team to get accomplished what you say needs to happen? And that's getting at least, right, to the AFC title game. I'm not very confident if you don't believe that.
I mean, listen, they have gotten 10 wins each of the last 2 years. They have won a playoff game each of the last 2 years. They have lost in the division round each of the past 2 years. Don't you have any expectation for them to get better? I hear a lot of people saying, yeah, you know, like 10 wins again, and divisional round again. That'd be 3 years in a row, same wins, same playoff outcome. How is that getting better?
It's not.
I mean, like, this is what, but oh, I just think they're going to, you just think they're going to what? Like you said, people think they're going to quote Texan. Like, DeMeco doesn't make it different. CJ and Will Anderson don't make it different. Like it's the same. Even though they've got, what, five players in the top 100 on that NFL list?
Six.
Six in the top 100 on the NFL list. Yeah, you know, same old Texans.
Only five are starting the season.
Well, that's different.
Sorry, Joe Mixon.
But, like, I don't understand this. People say, oh, well, you know, Texans, blah, blah. Like, no, don't you have any expectations, any desires for them to get better, for them to take the next step? How can they bold predictions and go, well, you know, they kind of do what they did last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing, that's just old.
Yeah.
That's an old prediction.
It's expected. It's expected for Will Anderson to be a defensive player of the year conversation.
This is like,
to have a career year, all those kinds of things.
Minimum baseline expectations.
Yeah. Now, hear me on this. Bold prediction. Jaden Higgins, offensive rookie of the year.
That would be super bold.
That is a bold prediction. Is it likely? No. That's what makes it a bold prediction. Like Mike Tannenbaum. We hear you've got some bold predictions there, good old Mike Tannenbaum. His bold prediction was for the Tennessee Titans, led by Cam Ward, to win the AFC South. That is a bold yet stupid
prediction. That is a moronic prediction.
However, those people are out there. Some because they...
Usually a bold prediction has, even if there's 50 roads, maybe there's only one road for this one to travel in order to achieve, but like there is a road.
Yeah.
There's no road for the fake Oilers to win the division. There's no road.
Look, I compiled all of these that I could find, and I'm sure there's going to be many more this week as they continue to come out. But so the Tannenbaum clown take of the Titans winning the AFC South, that's one of them. We talked about Danny Parkins, who's on FS1. He does the show with Nick Wright, doesn't he? He has the Colts winning the division. Nick Wright has
Daniel Jones is going to win the division over C.J. Stroud. What short straw did you pull to have to come up with that awful take?
Well, that one. He pulled the short one. The shortest one, maybe. No, Tannenbaum was definitely the shortest one. Nick Wright has the Jags winning the division. He has also the Texans going to the playoffs as the wild card.
Nick's trolling.
Yeah, so maybe so.
The only sunshine that ever did anything in football is Ronnie Bass.
Senior writer for The Athletic, Zach Berman. He put out his bold predictions for the 2025 NFL season. And it's not Berman's pick, but it's like all of the Athletic writers' picks. So in his piece, there was another wild pick out of the AFC South. Mike Jones has the Colts winning the division. James Boyd had C.J. Stroud reinserting himself into the MVP conversation. Now, if you're going to have that be the case, surely you're going to have the Texans winning the division.
You would think.
He does, but they're all over the board. You have everybody being picked in this division by random. Now, I think Mike Tannenbaum is probably the only person in the entire sports world that is going to have the Titans winning the AFC South. Nobody's going to have that anywhere else. Although, I'm very much looking forward to the next 5 days to find out if that's the case.
Do you want to know how confident I am that the Texans are going to win the AFC South?
So confident that at 10:52 p.m. on Wednesday, you're going to have them going 17-0 in the regular season.
19-0 in the regular season. However,
you can't go 19-0 in the regular season.
Until now. I'm so confident the Texans are going to win the division that if Davis Mills has to make 10 starts, they still win the division.
How many games do they win if Davis Mills starts 10 games?
10.
You're so asinine. Oh, my God. All right. If you are not familiar with this program, we do a thing called Bandwagon, where it involves usually cruel and unusual punishment. That is coming up next. We go.
Yeah, he's been off the wagon 2 years.
Off the wagon?
I think it's off the wagon.
I think it's on the wagon.
You're back on the wagon.
Right off the wagon.
What the hell do you know about wagon?
I know enough not to get on them.
Told you.
It's time to get on or get off. We play the bandwagon.
Bandwagon. Let's go.
All right. Paul Feinbaum telling his bosses at ESPN to let Nick Saban out of his contract to go back to coaching Alabama.
Paul, after the Alabama game, you just tweeted the phone number of your radio show. They're going to go nuts today. So if someone calls up your show today and says Nick Saban needs to unretire and return to Alabama and coach this team, would that be fact or fiction?
That would be fact. Bring him back. Get him off the game day set. Put him out there today. Don't waste a moment.
I mean, it was that bad?
It was that bad. This team is soft. They're undisciplined. You have a left tackle who's supposed to be the number one offensive lineman in the country. He got blown up a couple of times. And just one more thing. Julian Sayin, the quarterback at Ohio State.
Yes.
He was on the roster when Kalen DeBoer got there. Kalen DeBoer asked him, mispronounced his name. He was gone. Caleb Downs, remember him?
Yeah.
He was on the roster. And you wonder why Ohio State is looking so good right now and Alabama is shaky. And besides, Nick Saban is wasting his time on game day. With all due respect to the network, 3.5 million people watching, but please, bosses and wherever down the street, let him go. Let him out of the contract. Let him be there Saturday at Nick Saban Field.
What is the temp?
Feinbaum basically doing his boast. Best three-year-old, somebody just took my lollipop. Wah, wah, wah. Paul Feinbaum is basically a wiener with a little bit of hair. Are you on or off the bandwagon?
I'm off the bandwagon. I don't like his idea. I don't like his take, but I'm off the bandwagon.
He doesn't look like a wiener with hair?
Look, for the sake of making my argument that I firmly believe in, I will say no. I like Paul Feinbaum. I enjoy him. There's literally, he's not the only one on this bandwagon, dude. There's literally an article on CBS Sports right now titled Kalen DeBoer Buyout. What it would cost Alabama to move on from embattled coach after Florida State loss. I don't know who's reacting like worse after week one, like Alabama fan or, you know, like UT fan, this Arch Manning Sark situation. By the way, Kalen DeBoer is one of the largest football buyouts ever. $63 million buyout.
Yeah, buddy. He's a good agent.
Pay this guy $63 million to not coach after 1 week of football.
That's the kind of job I want.
Yeah, I don't
know. I want to get paid super money to not work.
I'm not on the bandwagon here, but I am anxious to hear your opinion on what we did all watch this weekend between Alabama and Florida State. But Byron, go ahead. Are you on or off?
I'm on because I kind of see it. Since PC asked, does he look like one? I do see it.
I know we all see it. I don't subscribe to it in this instance.
Feinbaum is just pandering to the most overprivileged group of fans in all of sports.
You might not be wrong on that.
This is just, Alabama lost. The world is ending. It never would have happened if Nick Saban was here.
First time in 24 years, bro.
Here's the bottom line. And this is not about do I like or do I not like Paul Feinbaum. But dang it, he looks like a freaking wiener with hair. And just, you know, those are punchable. Repeatedly. So two-thirds on the bandwagon.
Hold on, who's more punchable, Paul Feinbaum or that really mad, angry young Alabama fan that was flipping the bird? And then did you see somebody made?
I saw that.
Like, Florida State is 1-0 this season. I love that one.
Yes.
Yes, they're both punchable.
Yes. Okay, number two. Maybe it should be ESASPN. Mm-hmm. As in this particular set on the four-letter Disney Network, Stephen A. Smith proudly boasts of just how much stroke he has at the network.
You a question, Stephen A.
I'm here.
Well, you was after that getting your big bag, and you was getting your mignon, and you was getting your corn, your mozzarella cheese provolone. Was that not you looking at after your best interest? You know, Pepper Jack.
Hold on, let me laugh. Allow me to laugh first. Now answer your question. I mean,
you got some money on. I'm saying.
Whoa. Let me answer the question. You asked a question, let me answer it. Yes, I got my money on. No doubt about that. No problem. There's plenty of people throughout ESPN's history I have helped get theirs. And anybody who would challenge what the hell I just said to you on national television, they better beware. They better not utter that publicly, because I can tell you, and I didn't say one. I said many. And by the way, Cam Newton, while you're doing that, you can ask the bosses themselves. Plenty of times, spanning my 20 plus years here. Look at the roster. Look at the people here. Look at the diversity on the air. Oh, trust me, I will proudly stand up on a banner and say, I got a little something to do with that, because there's plenty of people that I have fought for over the years. That has never, ever changed. To answer that question directly.
Probably one of those. So shout out to Steve A for that, so I appreciate it. So back to that.
You ain't the only one on the screen.
No. But two things, hold on. Steve A.
I threw you a layup.
So, if you were wondering who that was in the beginning of that speaking some language that is not English, that was Cam Newton. And Stephen A., in what basically amounted to my company ding-along, is the biggest ding-along in the company. The only thing in the continental U.S. bigger than Texas is Stephen A.'s ego, and that is why you love when he does something stupid and fails. Are you on or off the bandwagon?
I'm on the bandwagon. It is always entertaining when he does something dumb and fails, but it's few and far between, and it's not wrong.
Like when he says there's a tight end on a team, that tight end retired 2 years ago.
he still got paid $100 million for 5 years to say that on that network.
Certainly did.
So, you know, for that reason, sir, he ain't wrong. He's got the biggest company wanger out of anybody. And he ain't got no problem letting anybody know how much he swings that thing. So I thought that was awesome. Dan Orlovsky was the last voice that you heard there. And he was like, well, I'm responsible, you know. I'm one of those guys that he, you know, vouched for.
Dan Orlovsky, DEI hire.
But it was, did Cam Newton call himself out or did Stephen A. No, Dan Orlovsky called Cam Newton out, didn't he?
No, Cam called Stephen A. out and then Stephen A. said, I helped all the people. And Dan Orlovsky said, I was one of those people.
Yeah, Dan said, I was one of those people. But then somebody said at the end of that, like, not the only person on the screen, like pointing at Newton. Like, he also helped your ass out, too. You know, so, yeah. Am I on the bandwagon? I forgot. I am.
You were on the bandwagon.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm on the bandwagon. I want to ask y'all, do y'all think, in a way, like, Stephen A. was offended by that to a certain extent?
No, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Like that's why, like, for me, like, that's why I don't watch First Take no more. Because it's just, like, it just gets out of hand. Like, do y'all remember that one time when Terrell Owens told him that Max Kellerman was more blacker than him?
Vaguely.
Time out. You know, it's just like, it's just old. So yeah, I'm on the back. That ego is too big, man. Like, just answer Cam's question and be done with it. No one said you didn't help other people, man.
But that's not how first question. That's not how First Fake works.
First Fake.
And I like Stephen A. But man, he just relishes every opportunity to stick out his chest and tell you how great he is.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't ever need to do that. Nobody in this business doesn't respect the hustle or the grind or everything Stephen A. has put into it.
Maybe LeBron doesn't.
Who cares about LeBron's balls?
I was just about to bring that up, the incident with LeBron.
Maybe everybody except for him.
You know, LeBron's super rich and you know, is still using the spray-on fake hair. I mean, come on. I think we have some doctors right here who work with us right here on Sports Radio 610 who can help you out, LeBron. But the bottom line, like, nobody in broadcasting doesn't think Stephen A. is an incredible talent. The need to puff out his chest and remind everybody is so beneath him. And yeah, that is his ego is gigantic, and this is why people relish when he says something wrong. When he does something wrong, and it's not like he does a lot of things wrong, but he often will, when he's not talking hoops, misspeak per se. That's full bandwagon. All right, last one. Sometimes instant karma does, in fact, get you. This is the head coach of Tulsa talking about how Northwestern, rich asses, denied Tulane's request to wear their all-white jerseys, which is the same ones they wore in their first game back after Hurricane Katrina. They wanted to wear their all-white jerseys to kind of like pay respect to the city of New Orleans in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. It's the anniversary. And Northwestern said, no. So here is Tulane head coach John Sumrall talking after, Tulane gave Northwestern the back of its hand.
Proud of our guys, man, for this to be the, you know, we wore the green helmets today for the 20th anniversary of Katrina. And I'm going to say one thing. I'm not trying to take a shot, but we requested to wear white jerseys because that's what that team wore. It got denied by the other team. That's their prerogative. But when you show disrespect to the city of New Orleans, that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to run into a team like this. They had a chip on their shoulder because I wanted them to wear the same exact uniform that team wore 20 years ago. Request got denied. We might have used that for a little bit of motivation to represent the city. So don't disrespect New Orleans ever.
By the way, the Green Wave beat Northwestern 23-3.
Ass whooping.
Hammered. And when you forget the human aspect of sports, you deserve all the bad things. Are you on or off the bandwagon?
Yeah, on that. That's easy. On that bandwagon. I just got done watching the documentary last night on Katrina, and it was I saw it. It's been on for like a week, and it was wild. It just dawned on me, like episode three last. I was like, "Holy crap! It's literally like almost to the weekend, the anniversary of Katrina." It's wild. Can't believe it's been since 2005 already. I'm so glad Tulane did what they did and put that ass whooping on Northwestern for that crap that they pulled. So very much on the bandwagon. Love sports karma.
I'm 100% on the bandwagon because my family's from New Orleans and both of my grandparents lost their houses during Katrina. So yeah, if hearing something like this is kind of really surprising because, you know, it's just, you know, it's a one-time thing. Like, you don't have to wear your white jerseys this one time. So happy like Tulane came away with the win, blew them
out.
Yeah.
The green wave drowning all of the Wildcats of Northwestern. And yeah, you know what? If you are going to deny a team's request to like pay respect, especially like Hurricane Katrina and how devastating that storm was in New Orleans, and you're like, no, you're not going to wear that because we said so and we think we're more important than you. You got boots to asses.
Ass!
And you freaking deserved it. And anytime the American beats the Big Ten, a child gets a puppy. Please think of the puppies.
Have that your pet spayed or neutered.
Is the bandwagon.
All right, final segment coming up next. Now, hear this. You're not going to want to miss it. Next. All right, final segment of the day. Area 45 in for the drive. Been fun. Hope you've had fun as well. Weather doesn't look like it sucks too bad outside.
Hey, is there a Texans All Access or are they being lazy because it's a holiday?
You put me on the spot. That's a Byron
question. There is no Texans All Access today.
Oh.
Lazy. They're airing the TSU game today, from what I've been told.
Ah, okay.
TSU?
Yes.
What is that?
That could be Texas State or Texas Southern.
I think it's Texas Southern.
Oh. The only game I know of today, TCU and UNC. A little Monday night college football action.
If North Carolina loses tonight, that's going to be topic 1, 2, and 3 all over national media tomorrow. Is
fair.
Belichick loses his first game.
That's easy.
Especially if they get spanked by TCU.
Okay, now, all right, let's just say.
At home.
Hold on. So UT lost 14-7 to Ohio State.
In Ohio State.
The Arch Manning debacle. And then Alabama lost 31-17 to Florida State.
First time, debacle to me. Your defense gave up 31 points.
That's the first time they've lost an opening game in 24 years. Now, let's just say TCU beats UNC. Let's see. The over-under for that's 54. Let's just say TCU beats UNC 31-24.
Okay, I was going to say 28-17, but basically same. Okay,
31-24. They beat them by a touchdown. Let's just say that happens. What's the bigger disappointment? What's the bigger disappointment amongst all three of those?
Oh, well, to me, the biggest disappointment is probably Alabama. Because, you know, Alabama doesn't lose to ACC teams. But they did. But I would also say UNC losing to TCU at home in the Belichick debut. By say two scores, by two scores,
man, I don't know.
Yeah,
I,
that's probably worse. I would all say the like hype the nonsense.
But the number one team, the number one preseason team in the nation, right?
UT lost to the number three preseason team who just won the national title.
But they don't have their quarterback either. Will Howard ain't there. You know,
oh, what, they don't have a five star behind a five star behind a five star at Ohio State.
I get you, but you know they've been talking to Arch Manning for 10 years since he was 12,
and that's not anything about anybody. You just heard Paul Feinbaum talking about how Ohio State's quarterback is there because when Caleb DeBoer got to Alabama, he said his name wrong, so he went to the transfer portal. So, again, five stars on five stars.
Yeah. So you said Alabama is a bigger disappointment.
I think Alabama be one, Carolina be two. If Texas lost to some team from the American, one.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They lost to the defending national champions. On the road at the horseshoe.
Yeah, no, and I'm not.
And they lost by one score.
I just think it is disappointing because of number one, but I thought that was actually a pretty respectable showing by UT, like generally speaking, to hang and be that close. Like, the defense kept him in it. They ran the hell out of the ball. And for, like, Arch Manning, as poorly as he played, like, in that he missed a lot of plays that were there. And he just, he didn't see them. He didn't make the throws. To hang in that environment on the road and be that close to have a chance, I thought it was pretty respectable. Like, I don't know how you can crush, like, Sark and Arch Manning. And Arch will be better. But
Dan, when we get to November, we won't be having those kind of conversations about Arch Manning. Hey, we got a long-distance phone call.
From Norway is where we find him.
Maybe not. Last time he was in Denmark.
Yeah, the well-traveled PK. PK, where are you at today, big dog?
Hey, Sean, PC. Back in Norway now.
There we go. All right. So how was Denmark?
Denmark was great, but I thought I came home with an unwanted souvenir, but I've done 3 tests. It's not COVID. This turned out to be a really bad case of the flu.
I thought you were going to say herpes.
It was the flu because, I mean, when you're riding the metro in Denmark and you had Ed Sheeran doing 2-night concerts Thursday and Friday, it was so jam-packed on the subways, man. You were just like sardines, like almost like to Tokyo.
It's unbelievable people still listen to Ed Sheeran. It's unbelievable they listen to him to begin with.
He sold out both nights. But y'all had me think of another bold prediction. Despite today's win by the Astros, I got a bold prediction for both of you guys.
All right, go ahead.
And that is the Astros get Uncle Mike back in the building as an assistant hitting batting coach.
I like it.
Bold. That would be a smart prediction.
I like it.
I mean, I'm not going to say that I would miss Alex Cintron if he was not here.
And no. I think I'd much rather see
Uncle Mike as the hitting coach than Alex Cintron.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he would provide the he would be more like he's got more player perspective, I would think, than the other two guys. They're more analytics and mechanics and stuff like that. One guy didn't even play baseball. Yeah. He played, I think, minor league, but never played in major league. So,
I'll double down on it. I would like to see Uncle Mike and his dad as hitting coach and assistant hitting coach. You remember the video from a couple of years ago when Brantley was actually still playing baseball for the Astros? He's out there in batting practice, and he looks up at the stands, and his dad's, you know, giving him, like, some body language, like what to do, what not to do. And Uncle Mike's like, yeah, and then starts to proceed to hit ropes.
If they have to make a caveat that Uncle Mike's kids are allowed at every game so that he can coach them too, do it.
Yeah, I'm on board.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great call by you, PK.
Oh, man, I mean, if you remember the Second World Series win back in 2022, you know, he had shoulder surgery in August, but he still went with the team to Philadelphia. And after that third loss, or when it went up 2-1, remember it was Brantley who called a players-only meeting.
Yeah.
And it mainly focused on how to hit better and, you know, being more patient to play and stuff like that. And what happened? They won the next 3 games.
Yeah, you repped him a new one right in front of the batting cages before the game. Yeah, well documented. That is a really bold prediction, and I hope it's an accurate prediction.
That was a real-life boot to ass.
yeah. PK, appreciate you, big dog.
Well, I know you got a connection to them. Reach out.
Yeah. I will get on the phone with Jim Crane as soon as the show ends.
Holler at him, PC. PK, always appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you, brother.
He's the man. I wanted to ask PK if he has any golf plans this weekend. You know, with the flu, like, he's got to stay on schedule. If he's like that mysterious Norway pooper on the on the golf courses they're still in search of, this might be like high time for him to frequent said course.
That might be a change in constitution.
Yeah, so to speak.
There will not be solids, there will be liquids.
Hey, one piece of audio to leave you with before we go. Hunter Renfro, you remember that dude? He still plays football.
Yeah, he came back.
Almost didn't get a chance to come back because of his daughter. Take a listen.
Yeah, my daughters were in the car. Like, I was right outside the car. I wouldn't just leave them in there. But I guess I had like 10 minutes phone calls from Dan, Dave, my agent, and they were all just ignored. My daughter was watching Blue or something. So got back in the car and had that conversation, I guess. looking on Thursday maybe. And then just make sure that this is what I wanted to do. Make sure that this is where I wanted to be, which I was pretty sure of it. But just wanted a couple of days to kind of make sure it was good with my life and my family to go and get everything I got to.
All right, so former Pro Bowl wide receiver Hunter Renfrow is chilling. His daughter's in the car on the iPad. And the general manager from the Panthers, Dan Morgan, along with head coach Dave Canales, and the agent, all are peppering this guy, trying to get in touch with Renfrow. Call after call after call. 10 calls ignored. Not by Hunter Renfrow, but by his daughter. While Renfrow is, I guess, making the transition from driver's seat to get ready to pull his daughter out of the back seat, who's being preoccupied by the very interesting episode of Bluey. She's watching Bluey and like ignore all the phone calls, like blowing by the GM, head coach, and agent of Hunter Renfrow.
You know, this is why my kids got phones early.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what my daughter did. My daughter was in second grade and I was letting her watch stuff on my phone because we were out. And I was getting phone calls, and she's just ignoring all of them, hitting the red. She knows red X, right? And she's just red Xing everything. I look at my phone. I've got like nine missed phone calls. Yeah. My mother, who usually watches, she pretty much watches my sister's kids.
Mm-hmm.
Same issue. My sister's youngest daughter, Aubrey, is on my mom's phone playing games. Trying to call my mom, going to voicemail. I did something unconceivable. I called the house phone.
Mm, wow. Because
you don't call the house phone unless it's like a super emergency.
They still had a house phone.
And well, my parents. and my mother's like, why are you calling me on the house phone? I said, well, I called you on a cell phone like 7 times. She goes, Aubrey! Don't! And Aubrey's like, what? I didn't do anything.
Watching Bluey. Watching Dan Tiger. Oh, my God. All right, fun times. We'll be back tomorrow from 8 until midnight if you'd like to listen to Area 45. If you'd like to listen to Ron the Show and Clint Sterner, let me tell you something there, boy. 2 to 6, they'll have it for you tomorrow right here, Sports Radio 610. For Byron, you're badass. PC, you're awesome. I'm Sean Bajani. Have a great night, everybody.
It's 10!